Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
Well, hello, hello. It is Wednesday night, so you know what that means. A hard cut on the music by Ryan. No Kate to introduce us, and Joe. It is the Mark Order Podcast. Me, Ryan, to my, well, my, I don't know, my direction, Joe. How you doing, Joe?
I'm good, Ryan. It feels normal now because when we have a full house, it almost feels abnormal. You know, when we're all three of us are here, so it feels right.
It does. Though we're not sure if we're going to have a full house or not. Kate, I want to say at the very, almost very last minute, sent us a picture of her internet just not working. I know she's actively trying to fix it, so we'll see.
And to be fair, it's storm related, right? For her, not her usual.
I said that she had it all day.
Oh, okay.
Now they could be fixing something that required them to take it down while they fixed it. Because up in her area, got a lot of rain. Not even, you know, it's not even how much rain it got; it's how quickly they got it. So it didn't have anywhere to go. So there was a lot of flooding, a lot of bad things. I'm actually. Hold on, see if I can dig it out of her tweets. I'm going to put in a link in the chat to a local Kate's local animal shelter that she was asking for support because they lost everything. I don't know if that apparently that link's not going to work. I guess you can click it. I don't know if you can click it from the
copy and paste.
Yeah, I don't know. Let me see if it works. Oh no, it does work. Okay, good. So yeah, click that. Go donate if you can. Help out Kate's local animal shelter. That's probably where she got her best pal Daphne. Yeah, that's all I have to say about that. I don't have really a lot of comments about that, but just let me know. Yeah, they're dealing with a lot of water up there. So for right now, it is the Ryan and Joe show. And Ryan was not prepared for the Ryan and Joe show for most of this, so this is going to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, we had a whole weekend of wrestling.
I feel like it just stopped. How was your weekend, Joe?
It was pretty quiet, other than, you know, but I guess that's what happens when you have one day pretty much taken up by wrestling. And Saturday was pretty much all I did was watch, you know, All In. And then,
hours?
What's that?
6 hours of just the actual pay-per-view.
Yep.
You have another 2 hours if you include the buy-in.
Yeah, it was a long one. But I get it. It's their big WrestleMania like show. So, but I think 4.5 hours would be a nice sweet spot.
I'm not usually one to buy into conspiracy theories, but I fully believe they extended it
right
to bleed into Saturday night's main event and be like, here you go.
Yeah, the longer it went, I was wondering if they're going to either go up to that start time of Saturday night's main event or like just a little bit into that start time. But if that was the point, if that was going to happen, then just start the show at like 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock.
Yeah, like I made the joke, like, well, while it was going on, oh, their whole strategy is to tire you out for Saturday night's main event. I didn't actually think they would go into it.
Or we have two tickets, you know, just watch on multiple monitors.
Yeah, I mean, I also wasn't going to do that. You know, no. It's not that Saturday night's main event didn't hold anything for me, but it was Saturday night's main event. It wasn't.
No. I cared about All In, and then I cared about watching Evolution.
Yeah, they were the two things I caught this weekend. I know NXT had some good matches. Like, apparently Ethan Page versus Ricky Saints was good, but, like, other than that, I had no desire. I watched the two I wanted to watch. Speaking of pay-per-views, what did you think of All In?
It was, a long show and that whole marathon of a show aside, I thought it was really good. I felt good after spending that much time watching it. You know, I felt like, you know, the Hangman win and that culmination of his arc and getting the belt off Moxley was rewarding for all of us. Tony and Mercedes left me wanting to see three or four more matches between them. Okada and Omega, you know, like a banger of a match. But because we've seen it enough times already, I don't think it was nearly as elevated as some of the other matches that we saw that night.
I could agree with that. For those joining, Kate is, in fact, running from the grind. She called the internet company and asked them to turn it off so that she could have an excuse not to be here. So that's where Kate is. Just rude, really. Unprofessional. But I'll say hi to the chat. 1LT, Tony from the Shining Wizards, Scott George, Lord Kev, Big G, Taylor Cannon. Thanks for joining us. Hopefully Kate will eventually pop in if her internet comes back on. I'm not giving her the entire night off. If it happens, you better show up.
What did you think of All In, Ryan?
I really liked it. It was very long. I don't know. I don't think I could have been in the crowd for it. Oh, I'm going to be honest with you. 6 hours is too long.
I would have had to have one of those old people seat cushions.
By the way, Kate just texted for those watching, and her exact response to my question of what's the verdict? Fucked. So, guess no, Kate. Yeah, that would have been too long for me. Because it was long watching at home, and I could get up, get something to drink. I eat without having to pay or wait in line. I could go to the bathroom when I wanted, like, no issues. And I was sitting in a comfortable chair. But the matches themselves were great. You know, you had, I got to think, one of the best tag matches I've seen this year in Swerve and Ospreay versus the Young Bucks. The Timeless Tony versus Mercedes was awesome. The main event was way better than I thought it would end up being, even though it was a clusterfuck. It was a very well done clusterfuck. And I'll be honest, the women's gauntlet was incredible. I guess it, because I cared more, like, not say I didn't care about the men's outcome, but there was more intrigue in the women's to be like, who are they lining up and will they actually let Athena do it? And who's going to show up? I thought that one was incredible. You know, you had Alex Windsor, and I say Windsor because that's Windsor, show up. And then you had, I cannot pronounce her name from Stardom. What's her name? It begins with an S.
Sir.
Yeah. So you had her, you know, show up. That was neat. That was a really well done match, and that was just a lot of excitement.
Yeah, the men's one was far more predictable. I thought most people thought Mass was going to win it.
Yeah, I don't think people were 100% sure that they were going to actually have Big G putting out there. I just can't pronounce it.
Siri?
Okay. I don't think people actually were sure whether they were going to let Athena leave with it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they just haven't been, they've kept Athena in ROH her entire run. Now it's apparently full blown. They differentiate. She's full blown AEW now from what Tony said, what she said. So I'm thrilled with that because Athena's been killing it in ROH for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, however long, many years. But the main event, I knew it was going to be what it was, but I didn't know if I'd enjoy it. Blood right away. My God, there was a fork within like the first three minutes. But they did the, how do I want to say this? They did their shenanigans well. You know, you had Darby initiated a distraction, which led to Bryan Danielson's awesome return that people were pumped for. Then Darby came down, chased people off, but they still saved the big moment of Swerve with the chain. Like that was the emotional moment of the match. Like, I mean, I have nothing bad to say about it. Did you like the main event or?
The main event was great. I think a lot of us worked ourselves into thinking you're going to be bigger as far as like more of the people involved come out and help offset the Death Riders. And the Darby part, Darby coming back is great. I thought the way he came back in the most Darby way of doing it is like, let's show this video. Let's not have him come out right away. Let's have this long, drawn-out process of having to lower him down and then having to have him unhook himself. And that was a long, that felt like a long time. And I wish we would have, but.
Or when Sting would lower, did he do it quicker back in the day?
It felt a lot faster than what we saw on Darby, but.
Yeah, like Darby's felt like it just.
Like he got smacked like, or something.
Yeah.
But. Other than
Danielson showing up was fun. You know,
I'm not sure why he wore a mask, but hey, you know.
I think for that moment of like when he was running out, was it would like kind of because Darby had a beard, so I think that that they were trying to get is are we seeing Darby or are we seeing Danielson? And then of course, as soon as he gets in the ring, you know who you're looking at. But I think it was for the fans in attendance to be like. Who's that running to the ring? Is there anything you would change about the pay-per-view?
Ooh, anything I would change?
Besides length, because that's the obvious.
Yeah, right.
You can change length of one individual match if you want, but you can't say the whole thing.
You know, off the top of my head, I can't think of anything. Other than, I'm sure there's parts where we could shave things down or move things around to not take up 6 hours, but yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't know. I can't think of anything really too much.
Yeah, I agree. There's not much I'm looking at it. I don't know if I might have held off the patriarchy hurting Christian Cage for one day, like till tonight. I might have spread that out so that way it makes more sense that Copeland was there, but we'll get to it. At least he justified it tonight. And then he also justified his run out where he gave them lots of time to hurt Christian. That made a lot more sense. We did have one very down moment in the pay-per-view, which is Adam Cole coming out to give up the TNT championship, basically saying he's hurt and he's going to be gone for a while. They didn't say what it was, though it kind of sounds concussion-y, but they you know, that's not definite at all. And he seemed like it could be it. You know, he's not sure. That just sucks. There's no other way to say it.
Yeah. He's injuries have just kind of derailed his time in AEW from really, he seemed like he had a little bit of momentum and then an injury pops up and just, I don't know. It's, and this one, hopefully he can come back from it after a time away, but.
Yeah. I'm hoping he was more down because of when it was happening. Like it was so fresh and that like, you know, time goes by and he wasn't as bad as expected, but we'll see. I mean, the man, you don't ever read a bad thing about him. So mm-hmm. Not that I want anything bad to happen to anyone ever, but it's always worse when it's someone that everyone seems to universally like.
Yeah, I'll be optimistic and say that hopefully he can come back and it'll be, you know, a nice little pivot from what the Paragon was doing. You know, I felt like them in the stable were kind of stale, like they didn't know what they were doing with them yet. So hopefully he can come back and they can turn that around or just do a solo act.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's our very quick, you know what? No, we're going to add one last thing. Hold on. I'm still getting used to this new layout. For me, majority of this was a 4 out of 4 on the fun, except for the main event, which was a bloody fun time. Where do you fall on this?
What's 4 again? The pee myself one?
Yep.
So I guess if I'm in the middle of 4 and the bloody good time, would that mean I just pee a little blood?
Oh, you should go to the doctor.
I'm trying to find a way of saying 4, 4.5, but yeah.
It's like flicking these.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think the 4.5. I'm probably leaning closer to Blake's fun time.
Yeah, no, I that was one of my... The reason we're not going in an in-depth recap is it would take us forever to do an in-depth recap. It was a 6-hour pay-per-view. I thought it was a lot of fun. Even 6 hours, at no point, there were points where I was tired, but at no point was I like, I'm regretting watching this. You know, there were points where I was like, geez, we could use a little bit of a break, but there was no point where I'm like, oh, this, I just want to turn this off. Like, I never felt like I needed to turn it off. So, all right. Well, with that said, we're going to take a quick commercial break because we are part of the Shining Wizards Network and we want to highlight all the great shows. Plus, I got to get myself together because I was not planning on hosting. And now all of a sudden I got to catch that because Kate is running from the grind. So while I get that together, please listen to these wonderful shows on the Shining Wizards Network. And if you thought that was going to be a smooth transition, you don't know me well. I have to put up the thing first, and now I have to hunt down the commercial stuff.
We'd like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in every Monday night to listen to The Shining Wizards. If you'd like to continue to support us outside of listening, we've got a few ways for you to do that. If you shop at Amazon, go over to amazon.shiningwizards.com, do your shopping as usual, and when you make your purchase, a little bit of that purchase price will go back to support the show. If you like to wear t-shirts, merch.shiningwizards.com will take you to our Pro Wrestling Tees store, where we've got over a dozen great designs from over 11 years of professional wrestling podcasting. You can become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast, where each and every week we call out your name as one of our show producers, and the more you support us, the more things that you're entitled to receive, and believe me, they are fantastic. If you can't support us monetarily, if you don't shop at Amazon, that's absolutely fine. Continue to listen to us wherever you listen to us on the World Wide Web, and make sure you like, rate, review, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Doesn't cost you anything, helps us out, and we can continue to bring you the love fest that is The Shining Wizards.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcast, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
You like your music heavy? Then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Well, the action is underway!
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
I'm Kevin Rogue.
I'm Al Day.
And we're a couple of down under pounders that co-host Rogue Day Dots, an action figure collecting podcast where we talk about, well, just about anything that tickles our fancy at any given moment.
We're grumpy old men, and sometimes people get on our nerves. And when you get on our nerves, guess what? You get off the lawn.
Get off my lawn, asshole! We also go on a little bit of a mission. We go back and we're grading every wrestling figure line that's out there. I'm talking LJNs. I'm talking Jacks. I'm talking Hasbros. Who doesn't like a little Hulkaplex? It's a Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production found on the Shining Wizards Network.
I'm Duke Bags.
Kevin Rogue.
And together we are the co-hosts of your Duke and Rogue. If you want to hear about some terrible wrestling shows, we got you covered.
Well, we talk about good ones, too.
We're currently talking about the death of WCW.
I know what we're fucking talking about! Sometimes we get guest spots, like from the Taskmaster. I like to listen to the Year of Duke and Rogue podcast. They're funny guys. I like when they talk about the Nards plows. I like Nards plows. That's a good move. And I like the Dungeon of Doom. You know, sometimes I call my butt the Dungeon of Doom. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Oklahoma.
Let me tell you a little bit about my favorite wrestling podcast. All right. It's a podcast for two men. Two men, Duke Bags, Kevin Rowe. They talk about professional wrestling. It's a man's sport. All right. And who better to talk about a man's sport than Duke Bags? Oklahoma.
Once in a while, Vince Russo stops by.
Oh, you piece of shit! If you're not listening to the Year of Duke and Rogue podcast in the back with the boys, you piece of shit, I don't know what you're doing.
You got a slight one in there?
If you're a man, you're talking about something only a man can do. You're talking about a slight one in there. Bro, take the time to slide one in there. All right, bro, you piece of shit. Slide one in there. A Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production that you can find on the Shining Wizards Network.
And we are back. Apparently the chat, Scott and Big G want to take some shots at me for being unprepared. Yeah, I am. Oh, well. Again, expected someone to be here. She's not here. My job is not to...
Ryan, they often say, you know, you stay ready, so you don't have to get ready.
I don't believe in that.
Yeah, Ryan consistently unprepared. So if anything, he is consistent.
I I'm here to be the face. 8 was supposed to be the host, and she let us down, and now I'm picking up the pieces. That's not my fault.
Am I the color?
Comedic relief.
Okay. I was going to do the color commentating, but, you know.
I was doing more of a sitcom thing, but if we're doing a three-man booth, yeah, you're the color commentator.
I am a person of color, so I think it makes sense.
I wasn't going to go that route. That would get me in trouble.
That's all right. I'll say it.
Okay.
So Dynamite.
Had to come back from it. So Dynamite. So we are live in Chicago for the first of...
Six shows or something like that.
The residency. Before we get to this, hi, Jesse Ozak. Gate's not here, so I can say hi. Second of all, Big G saying, you got to always be ready, next man up. No. Why do I have to be ready? The person in front of me should have done their job, so I don't have to be ready.
I mean, Big G, you've watched this show enough, right?
Yeah, I'm not ready. I refuse. I have my skills, and it's just being pretty. Let's just leave it at that. But we are at Dynamite in there in Chicago. I don't know. What was the name of this venue?
Ballroom.
The Aragon Ballroom. Not Aragorn. So, you know, if you're a Lord of the Rings fan, not there for you. I loved this venue. I thought it looked really cool. I like when they run the smaller ones that are unique and different. I think it
was such a contrast. They go from like Globe Life Stadium on Saturday, and now they're back into this little ballroom.
Like I get there's money in the bigger ones and all. I'm not doubting why you would, like, if you can run the big ones, you do it. And I know that they went to the smaller ones because for a while there they were struggling and they're trying to find a happy medium. But the smaller ones are just cooler. Like, they look cooler. It's a shame that the big ones can never have this look, because it just, you know, I would love to, you know, like, say, like, WWE, and I'm not knocking them. This is a compliment to them. They don't really ever have to run a small venue. They're always on the, unless you're doing NXT, they can pretty much run the bigger ones. But that also means that unless they go out of their way to fund the ridiculous set to make it look different, they're never going to get a cool, unique vibe from it, because all arenas kind of look the same.
It was like Raw back in the early days of Raw, back when they were in, you know, they're basically in one location there in New York.
Yeah, like that was a, you know. And then we have, so the first one out, first to start the show comes out Hangman Adam Page, which really fit the venue because it kind of looked like a Western style venue. And we got a cowboy. Still love that he's using the old theme, because he's a good guy now. They're asking if I floated out to sea. I did not float out to sea. I just wanted a romantic night. When the moon hit your eye like a big summer day.
Not prepared for this.
What'd you say?
I was not prepared for a romantic evening with you.
And yet here we are. Yeah. You're just lucky I didn't have time to get candles.
The captain.
Oh man, had I thought of that ahead of time? I think that's why I actually have this background. I think I originally I know I had the fireplace for the captain, but I also think I got this for the captain as well. I was just looking at my old backgrounds, and this is the one I chose for tonight. But anyway, so Hangman comes out to the Western style set. It starts with "You deserve a chance," which Hangman says, if you're saying that, you miss the point. It's "You deserve it." And, you know, he did this for him, and he's kind of going through the whole thing. They believe in a fully realized professional wrestling. They believe in grassroots wrestling, for the grassroots, all that fun stuff. There's a crowd thanking, but the big deal is Hangman goes through the list of people he thanks. And, you know, he thanks Orange Cassidy first, because these are the guys who fought the Death Riders all the way. Orange Cassidy might have gotten, up until he announced Swerve, the biggest pop of all the guys he thanks, and he got a chant. So Orange Cassidy, Jay White, Adam Copeland, Shibata, Hobbs, Joe, Danielson, Allen, and then he thanks Ospreay. And then he thanks Swerve. And it was the most tense, I guess you'd say, of his thank yous. It was kind of like, thank you. Like I can't do it. I'm not an actor. But it was just like this. It was really well done. And then Swerve tweeted online, "You're welcome." What do you think of his celebration speech? I guess I'd call it for that.
It was really a completion of his character arc, you know, from going rock bottom to finding himself again to coming back around to the admiration of the fans and wanting to win the title back for the company and for the fans. It was a big reclamation project, I guess. And he gives such a great impassioned speech and promo all the time. Like he just evokes emotion. I often think of, like, you know, on the WWE side, you have Cody, who usually does a lot of the passionate, emotional promos. And I think, you know, Heyman does that for AEW. He's that heart and soul that can turn anything, any program he's into, can be an emotional one of some sort.
Yeah, it is interesting to compare, like, a Heyman. They're just very different styles of the way they do it. They're very different connections. They're both heavily connected to their fans, but it just feels different for each one. That also, I think, has to do with the fact that Cody, for both AEW and WWE on his return, was always like the face. And Hangman consistently has just been building up the fan following throughout his time, and he goes through his struggles. And Cody, and this is for both companies, for lack of a better word, doesn't have like the level of struggles that Hangman has had. Like, if you really think about it, his character struggles are all pretty surface level. So it's just a different, I really appreciate it. I have a question. Maybe someone in the chat can answer this, and maybe you can. This was live, right?
Yeah.
Because they did far more censoring than they typically do. Did you notice that?
I just didn't pay attention to it as much, but
they usually don't get censoring in, like, the curse words, and they did for a lot of them tonight. So I just felt like, I was like, is this recorded or something? Or maybe after a big pay-per-view, Warner asked them to do a favor, like, hey, can we do a certain delay or warn us when they're coming so that, like, you know, we have a little more friendly, I don't know, advertise friendly. They don't usually censor most of their stuff, or even better, they don't usually catch it. Usually they'll censor the word after it gets said. So he'll be like, cowboy shit, and then gets blank, like the word after it. So just me noticing things, if anybody else in the chat did.
One other note I had was that I'm glad that he wasn't interrupted. See, I feel like as wrestling fans, we get so conditioned into that trope of, you know, someone's going to celebrate their title win, and all of a sudden their next competitor is going to come and interrupt them. And I was waiting for that moment, and it didn't happen. And I was so glad that it didn't.
Agreed, because I thought it was going to be MJF. Scott George saying they used the F word more than usual, but I think it got bleeped every time. And that to me is what's unusual. They typically catch that stuff. But that's just, they usually don't catch that stuff, I should say. It usually gets through. But, you know, it could just be me noticing something. We had, following up the Hangman thing, we have Kyle Fletcher versus Mascara Dorado. This was just incredible. A lot of reversals, high-flying moves. Kyle was acting as the power wrestler in this match. Not a role he typically gets to play, even though he has put on a decent amount of muscle. He's still you know, a skinnier guy and can fly around. So the fact that he got to play, you know, the powerhouse was fun. There was a point where Drago did a moonsault off the top rope and Fletcher caught him on his shoulder and it was so fucking smooth. I'm like, it didn't even look like it hurt at all. Like for, cause that had, I mean, Drago was learning stomach on a shoulder. It was just a really fun match. Kyle Fletcher won by pinfall with the brainbuster. I don't think there's a lot to say. I think this was just, they're reestablishing Fletcher. I think Fletcher. So one thing we didn't cover about All In was that Dustin Rhodes won the TNT title in the once it was put up for grabs by Adam Cole. And what I think you and I both agree was kind of probably just a feel good moment after a sad thing. I also think they want they're probably gonna have Kyle win it in a one-on-one way because I think this is their attempt to be like, no, we're not pushing him aside. He's still our guy. So do you agree with my assessment and what you think of the match?
Your assessment of pivoting to Dustin really quick?
That they're he's gonna take it fairly quickly.
Yeah, a transitional champion when you're kind of throwing a curveball at the last minute and you're in Texas where no Dustin's from and he's never had a single championship there. So yeah, it was a good moment for him. And you can hold it for a pay-per-view and then drop it to Kyle, which I think this match did a nice job of reestablishing Kyle and making him look strong. And it got Dorado in front of people again to keep, he's a CMLL guy, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, keeping that relationship open, keeping Forbidden Door season out there. So I think it achieved what it needed to.
Yeah, I think that's, I agree. And the match was good. So, you know, it's always fun to achieve what you want and have a good match on top of it. Like that's, the Young Bucks walk in, they are interviewed in the basement by Renee. Renee is very clearly happy at their, fall from grace. She's smiling. She's very cocky. They eventually find their locker room door, which is clearly different than their offices they were used to, where EVP is being scratched out of their thing and it's being called Matt and Nick, because that becomes the thing tonight that they're not Matthew and Nicholas, they're Matt and Nick. Ricochet walks up and kind of mocks them, but then Don Callis walks up and is like sympathizing with them. So that's an interesting little twist on this. Anything to say about that fun little quick segment?
No, I like the fact that how they present the Bucks now with having lost EVP titles, they've lost a chunk of their identity when they're coming up to the arena in a rideshare car and they have to, you know, change in a typical locker room like everyone else, and they lose their EVP names, and they lose later on in the match later tonight. They lose their pyro. They lose their big video graphics. I just think it's fun to watch them get bare bones now again.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a good thing that when your heel authority figure loses their authority, that everyone in there is celebrating it, because like you're clearly a dick, and now everyone's happy that you're not. Like if you are, there's consequences. So that was a lot of fun. And then we come back and we have the Hurt Syndicate MJ. Well, they heard people talking about MJF's the tag team victory, and then MJF speaks and he's happy that Hangman won, because beating Moxley would be too easy. This way he can beat Hangman and prove he's the best, but he's not even going to cash in as a surprise. It's going to be clean, which leads you to believe it's going to be a surprise. One thing I will say about this, I liked all this. I liked the whole point. I think MJF's speech about Hangman, where he talked about Hangman's depression and stuff like all that was great. My one issue is why they need to get MJF away from the Hurt Syndicate sooner rather than later, is because MJF stuff starts to outshine Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin. And I don't think I want those two out. Like, I don't want them to be like, right now they almost come off as like MJF lackeys, and they're not, but it's like he dominates the segment, and they were so much fun when they were dominating the segment. So like, that's my one complaint of the whole thing, is that he needs to get away from them quickly. What do you think?
No, I agree. I don't understand the pairing. I haven't seen the benefit for either of them yet, whether it's MJF benefiting from being in the Hurt Syndicate or the Hurt Syndicate benefiting from MJF. I mean, they would still be in the same position, I think, without each other. And Hurt Syndicate in the beginning, you know, MVP was talking, and the Hurt Syndicate was talking about how they're waiting for, you know, someone to challenge them and take their titles away from them. I think they mentioned the Legendary Tag Team, which makes me wonder if they're going to have the titles until, you know, Christian and Copeland get back together. If that's the team to take it off of them eventually down the road.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Christian Copeland, that their thing is going to be FTR, but do you have FTR take it from? Yeah, that's a whole.
And the fact that Lashley still kind of side, like, to your point, Lashley still kind of looks unamused and annoyed by MJF when he's just into talking about what, you know, what he wants and him being the greatest wrestler and being the world champion. So they always see Bobby kind of like glare at him. So I think, yeah, if we can hurry up and split this little faction away from each other, that'd be great.
So the only, and plus, like, if you asked tonight's segment, it was all about MJF's title win. I mean, they mentioned the Hurt Syndicate holding the tags, but very, it wasn't about that. And like, my whole thing is like, the Hurt Syndicate was probably, not even probably, it was definitely one of the most overacts in the entire company. Don't let him, and I'm not saying it's gotten there yet. I don't think it's there at all, but it has very, it can very easily have the potential of MJF stealing that from them unintentionally, just through, like, I don't think the guy behind him is going out of the way. I mean, like, hey, but I think he needs to bring people, or maybe it's FTR. Maybe he realigns with FTR and they take down, you know, they take down the Hurt Syndicate or whatnot, but it just, you know, it's my one complaint. We go to our match. It's Bandido, Brody King, and Jet Speed, Kevin Knight, and Speedball Mike Bailey versus the Don Callis family, Heshishero and Alexander, and Matt and Nick Jackson. Before we get to the match, did he get introduced as Bandido? Am I the only one who heard that?
I wasn't paying attention.
Justin, I'm pretty sure, but Justin didn't say Bandido. He said something like Bandido or something like that. He said it wrong. It caught my attention. I don't know why. Don Callis was on the mic. This was a typical multi-man fuckery match that I enjoy, but I can never tell you much of what happens. It's Josh Alexander had a couple cool moments. Jet Speed always looks good. You gotta love Brody King. The one big moment, I guess, in the match is when the Bucks went for the EVP / BTE trigger. They didn't know what to call it. They don't have those anymore. Man, that, we'll get to that in a second. I have a theory that, well, I'm gonna say it now. When the Bucks decide to go back to being face, they relaunch BTE.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Don Callis family, Young Bucks win with a sleeper hold, Heshisera on Bandido. What did you think of these multi-man match? And Jesse Ozark, what I heard, Bandido.
Okay. It was kind of your cluster match of, you know, of these eight-man tags, but I felt like a lot of the story, obviously, with the Bucks and kind of them trying to fit in with working with the Callis family, which I think will ultimately backfire. And that will hopefully maybe be the start of them turning face again, like you said. And I think working against the Callis family is a good way to help them turn face. So I see the match tonight, like, they weren't on the same page with them for a while. And then by the end of the night, by the end of the match, they were a little bit more in cohesion with the Don Callis group. But having Hechizero get the pin on Bandido was nice, make him look like a threat for that title belt. Not to say that Bandido is going to drop that, because that dude has been on fire lately.
I love Bandido. His mask is still the coolest mask.
It's a good mask. Yeah.
And that's what I noticed first. The Bucks' entrance was hilarious. I forgot to mention that. Mm-hmm. They walk in, and pretty soon they're Jumbotron or whatever stuff. It cuts to the highlights of their loss on Sunday. Then, like, handwritten Matt and Nick. Like, someone pointed out it was like Comic Sans. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess it wasn't handwritten, but it looked like it in these drawings. I thought that was hilarious. Like, they are just, they're being brought low.
I wish they would have done Pyro, but it's like very, like, not even Orange Cassidy level, but like just very like a smoke bomb. You know, it's just a very minor thing. Or you have like a Brandon Cutler or some person from the back is going out and holding a sparkler.
No, because that's what they want. They don't even get that. They get drawn flames. Hand-drawn flames. So I meant to bring that up. Then we go to... We come back from break, and we have Adam Copeland in the ring. Or making his entrance. Sorry, not in the ring, making his entrance.
He got to the ring faster. Okay.
He did, faster than he got there for Christian. Jesse Ozak, Coben Kate isn't watching because he's agreed with me twice. Yep, because I rule. I actually really liked this promo. I blanked on the word promo. How bad is that from Moxley? Because Jesus Christ. I'm reading the word Moxley. But I like this from Copeland because he explains why his whole thing with Christian. Did I go down to save Christian Cage? No, he's a dick. I went down to hurt FTR. Love that. Like, that is, it explains why he took his time getting down there. It explains why it doesn't just erase everything that's been going on. It doesn't instantly turn Christian face. You know, it's this whole, like, it was very justifiable, and that's what I appreciate. And he just hopes Christian is pulling his head out of his ass somewhere. He talks about his story with FTR 5 years ago when he got back in the ring. People were talking about Rated FTR, and they were in two different companies. But as soon as they get together, they start complaining that they're in the shadow, yada, yada, yada. Stokely comes out with
it's Big Stoke. Big Stoke.
Big Stoke. Big Stoke comes out with security, and I always laugh because, you know, two of them were the tag team Violence is Forever, because, you know, no, sorry, half it was Violence Forever, Kevin Koo. And I always recognize Kevin because the hair. Yeah. And he was kind of smiling throughout the whole thing, which was even better. Stokely basically says that if Copeland goes after FTR, then he gets fired. But then Copeland says, oh, Copeland did call Stokely to Oompa Loompa to get some cheers. That was a little bit of a WWE-ism in there. But Copeland did say, okay, you said if I touch FTR, but you didn't say you. A little bit happens. Cope spears Stokely. What did you think, Joe?
I'm with you. I like the fact that he explains his actions, and it also slow plays the Christian and Christian and Cope reunion a little bit more, because yeah, it would be unnatural if they all of a sudden like got up and hugged after that. Similar to kind of the build of, you know, Heyman and Swerve, that kind of moment. Like, we're going to get that moment with Christian and Copeland, and it's going to be great, but it has to be a slow burn to get there again. And to see them versus FTR, I mean, come on.
I think there's, it's always hard when you have your heel go so far, like Christian went, Because how do you make them face again? Because at least in the Hangman Swerve stuff, they were both assholes. So, like, I mean, I still think breaking into someone's house when their baby's there is, but at least Hangman then burned down a house. Like, there was, but for Christian, he has been universally just the prick in all of his stuff, and other people really haven't been at that level. So it's hard to pull it back and be like, well, then how do I cheer for this guy? I do think you can. There's a reasonable story, and I don't know. I'm not one to usually like fantasy book what should be said. But I think you could come back and have Christian be like, hey, I thought this was my chance to this was one of my last chances to have my single to cement my legacy, to have my singles moment. That's why I was doing all this. That's why. And then you came in and I was worried that I would take the back seat and all I wanted was my last chance. But I lost myself in that moment type thing. Like, I think you can walk him back.
Yeah. I think it'd be so much more difficult with anyone else, but because it's trying to walk him back with Cope, and being basically a brother and a family member to him, basically, I think it's more realistic that way, where he wouldn't repent and be apologize for what he's done to anyone else, but because it's Copeland, he will.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, I guess, you know, family brings you back or however they want to say it. I don't know. I want to say hey to Trey, who just came in. Thanks for joining us. We move on to Mark Briscoe promo. I don't have a lot to say about this. It was kind of an all.
Briscoe MJF is still going to go on for now.
Yeah, basically just saying like, hey, MJF, you dodged me. We're still going to I don't have much to say about it otherwise. Do you?
No, I just don't know what we're going to do with that program because we know that MJF is going to inevitably face Heyman for the championship. So like, I don't know what Briscoe and MJF are going to do other than just fight.
Yeah, like that's, I mean, so we'll move on to something better, which is Statlander versus Amanada versus Tekla versus Willow Nightingale for the $100,000 match. I kind of like that they've been doing these money matches because.
Yeah, I don't, but okay.
But why? Before you go, why don't you?
So it's an unnecessary gimmick. So like, give me something better than with stakes. I want, like, I'd rather have the winner have a guaranteed title shot or a title match. Give me something with a title involved. I think that's worth more than $100,000.
I mean, my argument is you don't need stakes in every match because it's a fighting sport. So in theory, if you go out and win, you bettered your position. You know, in UFC, the stake for two undercard guys is can they get ranked higher to potentially. So like that should be the stake for all wrestling. The reason I like the money is because people want there to be stakes. And you're saying make them title stakes, and I'm fine with that. But a lot of people are just like, why are these four wrestling? I mean, it's like, well, if you have to give a reason, money's easy.
Yeah, but like, I mean, they're not getting an award. You can rarely see them getting award the money. Like, there's never like the referee hands them a briefcase of money or anything like that, or someone gives them a giant check.
Well, yeah, because that always coming in their next direct deposit.
I want someone to have one of those giant, like, you know, publisher clearinghouse checks.
All right, so let me. So we're on the same page. If they start to keep doing these matches, but at the end of the matches a giant check is handed out, you're on board?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
At least there's something visible I can see. Otherwise, it's like $100,000 match. And but like, where's this $100,000, you know? Like, where's the money at?
Deposit, but I understand what you're saying. You know, you're not going to hand it out in cash. You have to take out taxes. You don't want to put your wrestler at risk for that amount of cash because someone might try to rob them. So you're going to do it usually. But I get it. I get what you're saying. I get where you're coming from. I liked the match. It was a fun four-way. You had multiple stories in this match. You had Tekla and Queen Amanada still hate each other, and I think that's been fun as shit. You have Statlander and Nightingale we don't know what their status is type deal. I thought Statlander was going to win this, to be quite honest. But it turns out it's Tekla, because Sky Blue came out to distract everyone, and then Julia Hart stepped in the ring and spit green black mist, I guess, into Tekla's face, into Amanada's face, and Tekla took advantage. And it looks like Tekla is teaming up with Julia and Sky. So I liked the ending. What did you think?
Yeah, it's an interesting pairing. I was not expecting to see Tekla align herself with the House of Heart, or whatever they call themselves. The match itself, I thought it was fun. It was a great little gauntlet match constellation with the four people involved. I would like for Willow and Stat to have some kind of resolution. I feel like they either need to be apart or like come back together. I just feel like we can dance around it long enough where we've taken them, we put them in Death Rider storylines and took them out for whatever reason. So just do something with them here. And if that means putting the Willow and Stat and Amanada as a trio for a minute to face, you know, Julia and Sky Blue and Tekla, then great. But just, that's my only thing. Just do something with Statlander and Willow.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you want them to feud? Is that what you're...
No, I either want them to come back together or just be like apart. Like, stop making them a thing. Like, it's... They were both kind of involved with the Death Rider stuff, and like I said, like, it just... Now they're not involved with that. When it just stop putting them together if you don't have a direction of what they're doing, I guess.
Fair enough. I can't argue that.
And I will say the Tekla pinning Amanada, terrible pin. The way she pinned Amanada, she came in, pinned her, and rolled Amanada's shoulder clearly up.
I was more focused on the fact that she put her hand on the face to hide the mist.
Yeah, but like she moved her body, like Amanada's shoulders like that.
But fair enough. I was focused on the mist. But I get what you're saying. Hey SJ, who just stopped into the chat, thank you for joining us. We have Toni Storm on the balcony. She goes through her usual spiel about who she is. Says that Luther was injured in the line of duty and something needs to be reattached. What line of duty is he getting in?
In duty.
Yeah, and then her tits are pointing to the future, but she's got to be careful because there's so many people coming to get her. And then Athena and Billy Starks are on the big screen, which before they actually show the video, like cut to the video, it's in black and white, which I appreciated. Which makes me wonder, was it in black and white in the arena? Probably not, but that would have been cool. I couldn't really hear, to be honest with you, what Athena said a lot of this. The audio wasn't great. Basically, like, I'm going to challenge you and I'm going to beat you. Toni Storm didn't look super impressed. She'll be ready. She'll be sweaty. If she's willing, she'll be thrilling. And if she's able, she'll bend her over the table because she's timeless. That was what she said. So a lot of fun stuff. Glad Athena's in this. Do you have any thoughts on this promo?
It almost made it sound like Athena was going to use her contract as almost like a cash-in. Because she really toyed the idea of like, oh, I could face you tonight. I could face you tomorrow. I could face you in a Forbidden Door. I could, you know, like, it almost seemed like she was going to kind of surprise Toni with whatever she decides. So I'll be interested in how she executes her contract. And also, I want to see what happens with Mercedes in this now, because like, does she stay involved with this, or is she on the side for a while until the outcome of the Toni Athena match?
Very curious. And I still think Billy Starks has to be willing to take the ROH from Athena. So we'll see how that plays into all this. Before we continue, SJ, we did give our thoughts on All In at the beginning, but for a quick recap for you, we both really liked it. We both thought it was very long.
But at the same time, we couldn't do a deep enough dive to drill down to figure out what we were cut back on. Like, it was a long show, but it didn't feel, watching it didn't feel that, like, it wasn't a chore.
Yeah. So then we cut to I guess the former patriarchy of Kip Sabian, Nick Wayne, and Mother Wayne. Not going to make any comments about Mother Wayne, but ma'am. Sabian starts saying, like, he picked Christian as his purpose, but he just happened to keep taking bullet after bullet but the father, aka Christian, was the one to take the bullets, was the one to shoot the bullets, but now his purpose is to support and protect his brother, Nick. And then Kip delivered it far better than I just did, clearly. And then I thought Nick had a very good thing where he basically said, you're old, you were a liability, you kept challenging me, but I've won a title, I'm 20, I'm the youngest one to win it in a company, who are you? And basically it's like, you created me and now you have to live with me. I thought this was solid from across the board. What'd you think?
Yeah, I think it follows, you know, if history has taught us anything in wrestling factions is that, you know, the apprentice always overtakes the master, right? Whether it's, I'm trying to think
of
no?
Oh, I guess technically it did happen. Obi-Wan did eventually, but he kind of gave up to Darth. He didn't really lose, and he kind of beat him in the end by.
Well, he lost the battle to win the war.
Yeah, so did he really lose to his apprentice?
I don't know. But anyway, the age-old story of, like, you know, you form a faction, and the person you think you're mentoring is the one who's going to, you know, come and stab you in the back and take you over. And then
it is one of the oldest wrestling stories. And we go to Okada versus Rafael Quintero.
I didn't catch his name.
I see it written down. Squash, 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 squash. But the important thing here is that Okada called out Swerve for what he did to his friends, the Bucks. So he called him a bitch. And then Swerve enters in a very slick-looking suit. It's all sweet, sequined out and all. Said he did it, and what is Okada going to do about it, bitch? Callis kind of stopped Okada from doing anything. But clearly, this is the feud we're getting, and I'm very excited for that.
Yeah, the idea of Swerve and Okada, great. The idea of Swerve possibly winning the belt off of Okada and living in a universe where he's a champion, a unified champion, and Heyman is the AEW champion. It's an interesting dynamic. I'm not quite sure why Okada had to wrestle this match. I don't know what it did for him after already being Omega. Like, he could have just came out and cut a promo and had Swerve come out here and interrupt them, and they could have both been wearing fancy suits.
But it's gonna be awesome. That's gonna be a hell of a feud. And then we get to our main event: Hangman Adam Page, Mark Briscoe, and Powerhouse Will Hobbs versus the Death Riders. In a match that I really didn't want to see because I want Hangman to be done with them.
Mm-hmm.
Back and forth, tomfoolery, you know, all the typical Death Rider shenanigans. However, Hangman does eventually pin Claudio to win. After the match, Death Rider tried to fight, but then Darby Allin distracts Mox, and Mox looks shocked. He's like, maybe not scared, but, and that allows Hangman to hit a buckshot lariat. What do you think?
One, I'm getting tired of the Death Riders in the main event. But two, it it was really to do this whole thing was what to do two things. One, to show us where Moxley is as a character after losing the title. You know, like the whole match, he was kind of second guessing himself and wasn't as sure. And then secondly, it was to, you know, bring back Darby. Darby just like ripping off all of Sting's stuff now, coming from the rafters, hanging up with a spotlight, looking ominous.
I mean, if he's your mentor, you're gonna kind of steal his.
Yeah, I get that. And the match itself was fine. I loved Claudio and Hobbs. Like, that is a medium rare steak meat match.
Medium rare. No, I mean, I didn't hate the actual match itself, but I don't want Hangman around the Death Riders anymore. Move on.
I've seen the match before. I've seen a trio of the Death Riders before. Yeah. And we need someone to equalize or offset Shafir, because there's no woman now to help offset her interference.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, I don't know. Like, there's not. I'm okay with the Mox downfall a little bit, the death of the Death Riders. I think I'm all for that at this point. There's still clearly going to be a blood and guts at some point. I don't see the need for it, but we're going to do it. Although they probably will take Hangman out now and put Darby in. So I guess that would work. If you take Darby away, I guess you can. Not Darby, wait, take Hangman away.
Yeah, putting Darby in with putting him like the ops or something.
Darby ops, and yeah, we'll make it work. Yeah, because you're going to have the yeah, you could do 4-on-4 as a blood and guts and let it be, and that'd be fine. So I'm for that. Well, that was our Dynamite. Any final thoughts on the show?
No, I think it felt like a solid little show after a pay-per-view. I know people were hurt and things like that. And but yeah, it was a good show. Wasn't great, it was good.
I kind of agree. I think it's a solid follow-up, and that's the most I can expect for a follow-up of a pay-per-view. So Joey Shabadoo. Where can you be found when you're not here at 10:15-ish on a Wednesday night?
Well, I'm always online somewhere. You can find me online on my social media at _AsianJoe. And then I still have a serial blog that's linked in my bios on my social media. Was it 2 weeks ago or so? I did a review on some Magic Spoon cereal. And then I recently just bought a new box of, what is this, Captain Crunch Orange
Cream? Ooh.
I don't know. It was on clearance for $2.50.
No, you have to get it. You're a reviewer, but ugh.
$2.50 for this giant box of diabetes? Sign me up.
Yeah, there's a reason it was $2.50.
But, Brian, tell me about history.
Well, historically speaking, that has not been a good... Oh, sorry. You can find me on all our socials at Mark Order Pod. You can follow my history blog here for history.com at _ here for history or here for history, depending on the social. I'll have a new blog out in relatively soon. It's been taking me a while to just think of a topic that I want to do. Other than that, we're here every Wednesday at 10:15, sometimes three of us, sometimes two of us, sometimes none of us. You're going to find out when it happens. I want to thank our chat, Scott George, Jesse, Lord Kev, Big G, SJ, Jesse Ozog, Taylor Cannon, Trey. If I miss any, Matthew Hooks was in here a little bit. If I miss anyone, I apologize. Meet Norman's just stopping in. Sorry, Meet, we're wrapping up. It's a quick night, a little unexpected. We go a little shorter when there's no Kate because she's more opinionated than I am. But that's it. So
Brian, before you go, how do you like your steak?
I say medium rare because if you don't if I say medium, it's too well done. So I want them to know that I like a little blood.
Okay. I just, I, yeah. I need you to watch insightful Sean's question, his what you want to talk about type of segment or whatever you call it now, his the hump.
I didn't catch that now.
He talks about how he likes his steak medium well.
Well, that's just wrong.
Yeah, he got flames for it. So
he should. That's the wrong way to have a steak.
Yes. So
medium rare, because if you say medium, they have a tendency to go closer to well done. And you can't say rare because you might just get rare. So I say medium rare because that means I still get some pink, some blood, but it's actually cooked.
Yeah, like kind of like a regular Moxley match.
Yeah, so. All right, well, with that, I'm going to somehow do the outro. I put on the outro video, and then I play outro.
Quarter podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Join us.